This is an Enterprise Times podcast sponsored by Rootstock. My name is Steve Brooks. Today I'm talking to Peter Wong, Senior Director, Professional Service at Rootstock Software. We will be discussing five things companies should do to achieve a successful implementation of an ERP solution. I will ask questions about the why, what, who, how, and when. Hi, Peter. First, could you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Hi, Steve. I've been in professional services in software companies for the last 25 plus years, and I'm currently at Rootstock as the Senior Professional Services Director, helping mid to enterprise companies implement our ERP applications.
Peter, many companies are now looking to cloud ERP solutions to replace their existing systems. We could talk about why they need to do this at length in this podcast, but we're going to instead focus on the implementation. What are the answers to the why question that are important to have in mind as they start that implementation?
One of the key things when we start a new implementation is we try and understand from a customer's senior management's perspective, what is their value drivers and project vision for ERP implementation? For example, we try and drill down and understand what are they trying to accomplish? Are they trying to plan for a growth that they're seeing? Are they trying to speed the order to cash process? What are the key drivers so that we can help develop a strategy that will help successfully implement that project?
Are you talking project vision? Or are you talking more of a business vision there?
First, we start with the business vision, and then from there, we will develop the project objectives and vision. We like to understand from a business standpoint, the business drivers. For example, I've had a lot of scenarios where they say, hey, we are seeing a growth in our sales and we want to be quick in terms of turning around the orders and getting the order to cash process a lot more efficient than it is currently.
That surely is more of a short-term goal because you can put the system in place, change your processes, and it's there. What about some of the long-term goals? What are the things they need to think about?
When you implement the ERP system, this is the best time to revisit your enterprise processes and look at how you can improve business processes that are currently in place and how you can find more efficiencies. Because businesses are constantly changing and they need to really revisit where they are today and where they need to be. So it is important that they start having that as one of the longer term goals as part of the project.
Have you seen a company develop this answer to the why question? What do they actually focus on?
A good example is a company I'm working with is they're trying to really start a new product line and they're also moving to a new location. So we're helping them focus on the short-term goals in terms of getting the operations up and running, the order to cash going such that they are getting to be profitable with their current product line. And then in the long term, they're looking at more advanced pieces of the application to do forecasting and to be planning their materials better in terms of using MRP and capacity and production floor scheduling applications.
How do they document this? Because it's great talking about it, but what's the right way to document these kind of objectives?
We usually work with a customer to develop a management vision, also the project objectives. And then we use that in the project kickoff so that we are aligning the whole team in terms of the roadmap, in terms of how we want to get there. So it's just very important that we document the direction, the vision, and the goals of this project.
Now they've got that why documented. What do they then need to do?
The next step is to really have clarity in terms of the scope of the project. And we need to be absolutely clear with the whole project team in terms of what is the scope and how do we want to possibly break up the project into phases? Because we find that too many times people try and do too much at the same time. So what we do with our customers as part of the vision in terms of breaking up the project into different phases, when we kick off a project, we say for the current phase, these are the specific areas we will focus on. And we work with the project team to make sure they understand that goal and we kick off the project.
What should those phases look like? Because ERP solutions are obviously very broad. But if you're talking to some companies, they also have multiple business units. So should they look to pilot within a small business unit or should they look to implement just one module of the ERP solution?
Well, a good example would be a lot of times people say they want everything. They want the order to cash, procure to pay, and also they want the planning aspects, the forecasting aspects. We typically tell them, let's walk before you run. So get the foundational pieces in, get the mission critical components in. Sometimes they call it the minimal viable product. What is their MVP? We focus on that typically as phase one. And then we will work on phase two, for example, with implementing MRP and EDI, some examples of things that we'd like to recommend to our customers they put off to phase two.
Does that not cause some integration issues sometimes?
Oh, no. We typically keep everything in mind as part of phase one, that in phase two, we have these components. In phase one, we're doing the building blocks to get phase two. We're not going to have any major issues. We're actually planning for phase two by making sure we are setting up the systems and having considerations for phase two as we do phase one.
In larger organizations, say multinational organizations, should they take the same approach or should they look to pilot in a smaller business unit first?
We've seen different type of scenarios. We've had companies where we had multinational type scenarios. And what we try to do is look at what are they trying to achieve? Are they trying to harmonize the different businesses? Or are they trying to focus on maybe a particular part of the country? For example, just focus on the USA scenario. I've had different scenarios, but yeah, we typically like to recommend they focus on one area of the company and then roll it out to the rest so that it'll be a faster, quicker rollout for the rest of the companies across the world.
Is there anything else they need to consider at this phase when they're thinking about the what?
One thing we keep reminding them is it is a journey. It is a journey that you're not going to be able to get everything done in one shot. It is a journey that you need to keep in mind, and the team has that in the back of the mind that they need to become comfortable with the system and they can become part of that journey in terms of helping change and improve on the business processes as we go further.
Business exists to make money. How do you map the ROI against these kind of projects? What can they expect from an ERP project? Traditionally, they've taken years and taken even longer to deliver ROI.
One of the key things we tell them is it will help in reducing number of clicks and the type of things that they'll be needing to do offline on spreadsheets and things like that. So we want to put all our efforts into getting the systems up and running such that you can extract information from the systems. There is a lot of return coming from being able to leverage the power of enterprise ERP system. So that's what we remind our folks.
You talk about spreadsheets and replacing spreadsheets, but that almost sounds like you're potentially saying you need to replace your processes as well, or rethink your processes. Is that true?
A lot of times we find that people are so used to doing things a certain way, we try and have them take a fresh look in terms of what are they trying to accomplish. It takes a little bit of effort, and that's typically what we help our customers do is to step back and look at what is your objective for this function. Let's say if it's getting your quotes in from your customers and getting those quotes converted into orders, how is it currently done? And how can you make it a more streamlined process such that you don't have to re-enter a quote, for example, into an order management system? So let it flow automatically. If you have a quote, let it be the trigger for the order management system.
You've got the what defined. Who should be involved in the project and at what point should they be involved?
The most critical component of any project is the team. We need to have the right internal team that typically consists of the business process owners, the stakeholders for different business operations. It could be on the order management side, the order fulfillment, the finance and accounting group that will be managing the books and invoicing the customer. We need all the business process owners as part of the project involved throughout the project. Also, another key role is the project manager, which is obvious, as well as the project management sponsor. They're the drivers for the project and a key component in terms of making sure the project is successful.
The project sponsor, I know from experience, is a critical choice within a firm. Who should be the project sponsor on an ERP solution?
It really depends. Let's say it's the chief operating officer. I've had many scenarios where for a medium-sized company, it's the CEO. They become involved in terms of making sure the vision is executed and the project is aligned with what the company's vision is. They are so critical in terms of setting the tone of the project and making sure the direction of the project and the team is focused on the project goals.
CEOs are often busy individuals and senior leaders are obviously busy individuals themselves. How involved is the project sponsor's role within the project? It's not a day-to-day role, is it, surely?
No. We have a cadence where we meet up with the management sponsor, let's say on a monthly basis, to really provide them a recap of where we are against the vision and project goals that we originally started off with during the kickoff. And it is really to help make sure if things are going off course, he helps pull the team back in and keep it focused, and also to help resolve key issues. One of the typical things I see a lot is helping drive change management, because a lot of companies have folks that have a hard time with change. We need management sponsor in there, rally up the troops to be part of this change that we're trying to implement.
Have you seen a project sponsor do this well, where a project's maybe gone slightly wrong and where they've jumped in to fix something?
Oh, yes. I've seen many times the management sponsor has been the critical component in terms of pulling back the project. A good example of how a management sponsor has helped us was a small manufacturing company I was working with. There was a lot of indecisions coming from the project business process owners. It was the CEO who stepped in and really helped refocus the group in terms of the vision of what they were trying to accomplish. It really helped get the project back online. The vision was to say, we need a very efficient engineering process and the release of the built material to the manufacturing team. The CEO helped push the project back on track with his involvement.
We're talking about internal people. What about people external to the business? How important are those stakeholders and what's their involvement?
Yes. The other part of the equation is to have the right partner helping in terms of helping implement the project. A lot of times clients don't have people who have gone through ERP project implementations before. You really need professionals to help guide them. Ultimately, it will save you a lot of time and pain in the long run if you can get professional outside support to help people who can bring in best practices, fresh perspective in terms of how they should run the business. They can provide valuable input, as well as focusing the team on the steps to get to going live with the implementation. A lot of these companies have good methodologies that have been proven. It can really help get a project in on time and on budget.
Peter, do you have any tips around what a manufacturing company should look for in their choice of partner?
We recommend that they have folks on the partner side that have industry experience that can really help bring best practices to the team, for the company to consider in terms of new ways of doing things. The other thing is they need to look for someone that will become a lifelong partner for them, because like I said, it's a journey and you're going to be continuously going back to the partner for guidance and advice in terms of how to expand the use of the applications.
That's a change though, isn't it, from traditional ERP, in the sense that most manufacturers 25 years ago installed their ERP, sat in the corner, and they left it. What's changed?
That's a good question, Steve. A lot of times we see their business requirements are changing and they need to keep up with that change. So we see that a lot of these partners can provide that guidance that they need in terms of best practices and technologies that can keep up with this type of change that these companies are facing today.
Do you see the customer's customer involved, and should they be more involved?
Currently, we don't see a lot of that today. It'll be beneficial to get them involved as part of process envisioning in terms of how they need to update their processes and so forth. For example, a lot of our customers use EDI. It is really needing to be in partnership with the customers in terms of setting up the systems, in terms of where they want to go with EDI.
I assume that also applies to suppliers as well, because obviously there are quite a few processes that involve suppliers in that.
Yes, absolutely. On the procure-to-pay process, we have seen scenarios where we pulled in their suppliers as part of the implementation to discuss how we're going to set up the purchasing systems such that it is more streamlined to address the way suppliers are changing their businesses as well.
And have you seen that done well somewhere, either with customers or suppliers?
Yes. Overall, I've seen good results in terms of working with our suppliers together with the customer in terms of developing new processes.
You talked about cross-functional processes. Who owns those?
Part of the core project team consists of business process owners for each functional area. And those are key members of the core project team that we typically recommend. They are very critical in terms of being part of the whole implementation all the way from beginning to the go live, because we see them as the key stakeholders that will continue being the champions for their functional areas and the use of the applications.
What about those processes that actually go across departmental boundaries? Do they share responsibility, or do you find a single owner for each of those processes? And is that important?
We like to identify, for example, in the order management system, a champion, although he is a champion, key business process owners, but he will have other team members from other functional areas. Let's say it's the invoicing department, the order fulfillment department, will be key members of this order management business process owners team.
We touched on this before with the choice of partner is one of the key who answers. But how do they then go about completing the project?
It is very important that in the partners, you find out what is the approach, what is the methodology in terms of how they will help their customers successfully implement the software. Typically, if you can have them show you a proven implementation methodology, it will be very helpful. These methodologies typically help you focus on, again, the key areas such as key steps, requirements, defining the solution, getting the team trained and familiar with the system, and testing of the system before you go live. It is important that they have a true and tested methodology that they follow, and they can lead the customer through the implementation.
When does training start?
Training starts very early on in the project. We have seen it start in the middle of the project, but we believe as soon as a project is kicked off, we try to encourage that customers become familiar with the system. There are high-level training videos that we recommend our customers follow to understand the lingo, the terminology that is used, so that we are together successfully implementing the system as we go through the business requirements and solution definition phase. It really starts at the very beginning. We have more organized and focused training somewhere in the middle to really get them deeper in terms of understanding how the system is. Because a lot of times we would like to be using the concept of train the trainer such that they become the folks that will train their ultimate end users of the system.
You talked about training terminology there as well as training on the system. What else should companies consider the training of? Because it's not just about training on the ERP system nowadays, is it?
It is not just training on the ERP system. Look at it as combining how are they going to do their business processes, the new ways they're going to implement or leverage the application. Based on what we talked about earlier, is a lot of times we're going to ask them to revisit how they do their business processes. It's really training their end users, not only on the use of the application, but how business processes are changing. It's really combining those two aspects when they do the training.
If you're training people to change processes, that's change management, isn't it? The important thing on that is actually training becomes part of your whole communication plan. So how important is communication during this whole process, and how do you approach it?
That is also a very, very critical part of any project is the team communication. It is important that it starts off with communicating clearly when we kick off a project, what are our objectives, what are our timelines, what is the scope of the project. It starts from the very beginning and it continues throughout the project. And it's a continuous updating of the team in terms of where things are. If there are any major roadblocks, how is it being handled and how is it being resolved? That is a key part of any project.
What about time? For how long can they expect the implementation to take, either each phase and then actually the whole project or getting the whole ERP live?
That's a good question. Typically, we get asked that a lot of times. How fast can we get this in? My typical answer, it really depends. It depends a lot on the customer in terms of how their project team members can be engaged, because a lot of times they have their regular jobs and they have to implement an ERP system. I've had situations where I've helped customers implement in 4 months. Typically, because of the way customers are set up, where they have to do their regular jobs and implement ERP systems, I've seen it go for 8, 9 months type scenarios. So it really depends on case by case, depending on the customer situation.
If they want to accelerate that timescale to deal in 4 months, do they look to backfill or do they look to bring in external people to help supplement the project team?
It's a combination of both. A lot of times I'm involved in one right now that has great participation from the whole core project team throughout the project, and it's been going very well. And I think we'll hit the 4 month mark because of their time commitment, the CEO's direction and support of his team to make sure they are made available to do their regular jobs and have time to participate in the projects.
If their day-to-day staff become involved in these projects on a semi-permanent or more permanent basis, I assume there are some also long-term benefits to that as well, to the company.
One example of a customer, they actually had a new position in accounting that they wanted to fill, and they said, we'll fill it quickly because we want that new team member to be part of this project team because they're going to be helping in terms of propagating the use of the system going forward for the company. That is a very good example of how companies are taking care of making sure they have the right team in place to help implement the ERP systems.
Overall, we've obviously asked those five questions. I'm just wondering if you can recap the key considerations you believe are needed to deliver a successful project.
A lot of times, like I said, there are key things that I really try and emphasize for a successful project. The first one is, again, to have a clear strategy and clear project objectives in terms of what you're trying to accomplish. So that is the first thing I recommend. Again, the second one we talked about is people's time, commitment, and energy that are needed to take full advantage of any ERP system. So we really need the core project team members' time and commitment to this. Thirdly, change management is a big aspect of any ERP system, and it's really the ability to accept this change and to work with the change that is coming ahead of them. Is one thing I warn our customers about, that they need to be ready for change and need to be working with that with their teams. Finally, it's the great project governance and communications that is really needed in any project. You need to have that all working well for you in terms of a successful project. Actually, I have one more I want to add is the customer needs to start taking ownership of any ERP system during the implementation journey, because they are the ones that are going to be ultimately having to live with the system. And the sooner they start taking ownership of the system, the happier they're going to be in the short term as well as in the long term. Those are the key things I recommend folks keep in mind.
Peter, thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve.